This hour, we're asking the question, how does fire inspire a writer's imagination? Jesse Ball is a writer who has no trouble getting inspired. He's only 38, and his CV already includes 6 novels and 3 poetry collections. He's also taught courses on lying, lucid dreaming, and the Brothers Grimm. His latest novel is called How to Set a Fire and Why. It's part psychological thriller and part coming-of-age story. Raymond Tungekar talked with Ball about his new novel.
Why did you want to write about an anarchist?
Well, it's very difficult to be politically engaged in these horrific and pathetic times. And it's easy to want to simply start again, you know. So I think those are anarchist ideas. Maybe also anarchist ideas are largely misinterpreted as being purely destruction and not... not also ideas with a heart. So it seemed to explore some of those ideas from the perspective of a child would be a pleasure, and it was.
So right now might be a good time to have you just tell me a bit about your protagonist. Is it Lucia or Lucia?
It can be either. I thought it was Lucia, but I don't believe authors have authority over their texts.
Okay.
Whatever anyone wants it to be is fine.
Well, what can you tell me about Lucia? Who is she?
She's a young woman. She is in high school. She has difficulty in high school. Her father is dead. Her mother is in an insane asylum. And she's trying to get along, supported by her aunt, lovely woman. They live in a garage.
What I kind of found fascinating in the book is we don't really get all that much information about her father and her mother. I mean, we get a sense of where she is in the book. And I should also mention that her father passed away, but we actually never find out how he died. Why was it important for you to kind of leave those details out?
Well, I can only say the things that she feels it's possible to say.
And in the book, Lucia is between schools. Why is that?
She got in trouble for stabbing someone in the neck with a pencil.
Why is that?
Why did she do that?
Mm-hmm.
It was because her father's Zippo lighter is the most important relic that she has. And someone touched it, this jock at her previous school. So she attacked him with a pencil.
Mm-hmm. You know, the story is told from her point of view, and she has a very distinctive voice. Would you mind reading an excerpt for me?
Sure. Things took an upturn between fifth and sixth periods when I overheard 2 kids talking. They didn't know I was there, and the short, dumb-looking one told the bigger one that it had been arranged and the sonar club was going to meet at the usual spot that afternoon. They were trying to be real cloak and dagger about it. I'm sure that doesn't mean anything to you. You're wondering, why is she happy about some sonar club? That doesn't sound even remotely fun. Well, I have a friend, I do, who told me about something he heard about from someone else. And what it is this. Right now, there are clubs forming up all over the country. They call themselves sonar clubs or even radio clubs, but what they are is clubs for people who want to set fires, for people who are fed up with wealth and property and want to burn everything down. Sonar, S-O-N-A-R, equals arson, A-R-S-O-N. He said you have to burn something down just to get in. And when he said that, I thought, I haven't heard something so exciting in a long time. If you don't like fire, you're not a living person, in my opinion.
Thank you so much. I love that excerpt. And that last sentence, if you don't like fire, you are not a living person, in my opinion. Such a bold statement. Why is Lucia so obsessed with fire?
I think in the world that we live in, there are many weapons. And there are weapons that are sort of inherently masculine weapons, like tanks or guns or money. But other weapons, like fire, is a weapon. But fire doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. It's not easier to wield if you're a man, unlike money or guns or tanks. So fire is a beautiful woman's weapon, and it can be used against all property to essentially return people to a state where they can just be people again.
Hmm.
That's her position.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that. I mean, fire is accessible to everyone. For Lucia, arson is a political act. How big a part does that destructive aspect play in her fascination with fire?
It's a large part. I think she sees it as, you know, a leveling tool. But I mean, fire is inherently beautiful in its own right. It's a complicated symbol. We speak about Prometheus and gifts of fire, and in every culture you have these crow traveling up to the realm of the gods to bring fire back to mankind. Fire's sort of the hallmark of civilization.
So I'm curious, there are, like, obviously political themes in this book. Was actually writing this book a political act for you?
Oh, I think it must be. I think all things that you do with your heart are political acts, because we can draw a line in the world, but there are people who do things, you know, selfishly, and there are those who do things out of love, and that's the real political line.
I think in another interview, you were quoted as saying that you think all novels should have some kind of purpose, that they should be practical in some sense. And I'm wondering if there was, like, an idea or a message. What's, like, the practical value of this book?
The practicality is not about something large like a theme or a message. The practicality is about having the company of another person's mind, which is embedded in the book, and from that mind drawing on a new way of seeing the world, and then having your world be reinterpreted in the face of that. Thousands of books are published each year. Many of them, in order to create the world that they depict, they draw on just a consensus vision of what the world is. And so when you read a book like that, it doesn't change you and it doesn't change how you think, because they're just using the thing that you already know. But a good book actually puts forward a new vision of what the world is, and thus it's a little uncomfortable to read it, but you find yourself changed and you find yourself with tools, new ways of thinking.
This might be a good time to have you read another excerpt. At one point, Lucia writes a pamphlet. It's called How to Set a Fire and Why. Would you mind reading from that?
I want you to go out and buy yourself a lighter or a good box of matches. If they are matches, it's nice for them to be strike anywhere matches. Those are the best kind. The lighter does not have to be a very nice one. In fact, it should be fairly nondescript, if possible. You will keep it in your pocket as a sort of token. Stick your hand in there now and then as you go around, and remember, all the buildings that exist, all the grand structures of wealth and power, they remain standing because you permit them to remain. With this little lick of flame in your pocket, with this little gift of Prometheus, you can reduce everyone to a sort of grim equality. All those who ride on the high horse may be made to walk. Therefore, when you're at the bank and the bank manager speaks roughly to you, when you're denied entrance to a restaurant or other place of business, when you're made to work longer than you should need to, when you're driven out of your own little dwelling and made to live in the street, reach into your pocket, caress your own little vehicle of flame, and feel the comfort there. We shall set fires, and when we set them, we shall know why.
I guess what I find fascinating is that you were able to write this book in a week, and yet it sounds also like you're very conscious of the language you use and the associations that come with some of your selections. I would think that those two would be at odds. How do you reconcile those two, like the speed at which you write with this kind of like meta-analysis of the words you use?
You just write the least that you can. Each sentence you put down, the very least that you feel you can say honestly within the voice of the character in order to depict the world. And then after that one, you put the least, and after that one, the least, and the least. And you never say more than you have to. And pretty soon the book is over.
Well, would you mind reading one last excerpt for me?
Sure.
From another part of the pamphlet?
Joy of Fires. Oh, the joy of fires. If you have ever lit a candle, then you know the exquisite pleasure that fire brings. It's the visible aspect of man's wit and cunning. It is the smallest and most complete mastery. To set a thing ablaze and thereby, without effort, change what is, and cause light, and cause heat, and cause smoke. I walk into the woods a short way to a clearing, a place I often went to as a child. There I pile some branches, I make a sort of structure out of kindling, a very tiny building, and I burn that building, this little building I have built, and in its burning it lights the logs above. You see, even setting a campfire is a sort of arson. But arson, what is it? Certainly it must be one of the most beautiful words. Arson, arson, how it rolls from the tongue. I should be so lucky as to be an arsonist. What a sentence it would be to say, an arsonist lives safely in a cellar. We deceive ourselves into thinking life is long, but fire reminds us it is a flickering. Life is a flickering, and then it is gone, so we must make the most of it. Fire is red, it is yellow, it is blue, it is black as ash, brown as seared lines on timbers. Fire is the pink of flesh and the gray of smoke that trails. Fire is the all-color that dwells before color, that which comes when one feels a fire will be set. But upon what? But how? When there is a fire, people run from their houses, not to safety, but to where the fire is, to the house that is burning, in order to see it. They are not coming to help. They simply want to see a conflagration.
Jesse Ball reading from his novel, How to Set a Fire and Why. He spoke with Raymond Tungekar.